It's a Monday. It is crunch time, and we end crunch time with this.
Well, it's big and terrible. More frightening than I ever thought possible.
Sounds kind of good, doesn't it?
Other people want it. It must be good.
So it's bad.
How bad?
Oh my God, that's the worst thing I ever heard in my life.
Ah yes, the Richter scale. We close up crunch time with this. I bring up the biggest sports stories from the weekend, and Steve and Alex let us know how it impacted their lives and the sports world. And oh my goodness, what a weekend it was for the NFL. The Jets decided to bank their entire future, jumping up three spots in the first draft. They will now pick second, right ahead of the New York Football Giants. The Jets and Colts swapped first-round picks this year. The Colts also got two second-round picks this year and a second-rounder for next year. So how do you rate the impact of this trade on the top half of the draft?
Who goes first? How about me?
Actually, why don't you go ahead because you're talking?
That's a big one. That's a blockbuster. Yeah. It's the NFL. It's the draft. It's a New York team. Even though you know they're going to blow it and end up folding the crappy franchise. For now, in the lead up over the course of the next 5 weeks, all the speculation now that Carlos Hyde has gone to the Browns. Is Barkley going to go to the Giants? Are the Jets definitely going quarterback? That's a nine. That's a big deal.
Yeah, I think it's a big deal, too. I'd say like 9.5 or something like that. Anytime you're talking about one of the top five picks and teams trading up to get in there, whether you think the trade is smart or not, it is a huge impact on the rest of the draft and what other teams are going to do. Because now, if you suspect what the Jets are going to do with that pick, now maybe you got to trade ahead of them and get into one, and then that becomes even more of a you-know-what show in the top half of the draft. And so, yeah, it's a huge impact, totally.
All right. Now to basketball news. Cleveland Cavaliers coach Ty Lue will be taking a leave of absence from coaching the Cavs to focus on his health. Cavs are third in the East, and it looks like the relationship between player LeBron and coach LeBron is going to be tested over the final 12 games in this season for Cleveland. How big of a loss is this for the Cavs?
This is like a one, because LeBron coaches that team anyways, and everybody knows that. I think the narrative that he doesn't coach the team is just silly. Come on, it's like a one.
He said it was like losing a player, so I think LeBron might actually think Ty Lue is a player coach like LeBron. He just chooses not to play.
This is my boy Ty. He got stepped over by Allen Iverson back in the day. We got him on our team now.
When LeBron was like nine.
Wow, I fought Ty Lue and Ty Lue won.
He shoots free throws with us after practice.
Ugh.
You know, the fact that he's definitely going to come back, and they've been talking about several weeks. I heard Windhorst, and I heard somebody else on CBS Sports Radio say there's no real timeline. It could be next week. Larry Drew's been a coach. Yeah, obviously, this is kind of a self-running machine. I don't know if it's a one. Alex is just mean. But I'm going to go 3.5 for some impact, because there's only 12 games left. You don't want X factors. So a minimal impact for sure, but not nothing.
I just have a lot of belief in LeBron's coaching ability is all I'm saying.
I don't know.
Witness, Steve, witness.
A team that is third in the East lost its head coach, and both of you guys are like, whatever, who cares? It was a big weekend for Rory McIlroy, who overcame some taunting from drunkards in the gallery at the Arnold Palmer Invitational to win his first tournament in nearly 2 years, as El Tigre had another strong showing, 1 point within one stroke of the lead, but finished fifth after going +2 on the final three holes. Tiger is very much back. And how big of a result is this for golf coming up, as the Masters are about 2 weeks away?
I watched. I was doing a major flip back and forth, and not just because Tiger was in it. I'm actually a golf fan. It's Arnie's tournament. I'm a big Rory guy as well.
And
the gallery chanting.
Horrible.
Rory was the gallery chanting, Rory, Rory. And I love ESPN's headline. It's his first win since 2016. And my thought was, in golf, you could play for 30 years on the regular tour. If you win one tournament every other year and end up with like three majors, you end up in the Hall of Fame. So this, he hasn't won 2016, is not catastrophic. I thought it was an awesome tournament. Sets up for a brilliant Masters. I'm giving that a 9.
So what's the impact is what you're asking?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like this is a 10. You have Tiger Woods and Rory McIlroy back. That golf was like nobody talked about golf until Tiger Woods started like coming back over the last few months. And now everybody's talking about golf. And now you have Rory playing back to the way he's supposed to play too. It's perfect. You could not ask for much more if you're a golf fan or like golf PGA Tour organizers than having Rory and Tiger back at the front.
Make golf great again.
To 10.
The number 2-seeded Oregon women's Ducks did not hold back in their opening games of the women's NCAA tournament, winning against Seattle U and Minnesota by 43 and 28, respectively. Sabrina Ionescu went 4-for-6 from 3 with 29 points last night in the win against Minnesota. The Ducks will now move to Spokane. Also in the NCAA tournament, I don't know if you've heard about this, but UConn women won 140-52. 140-52. I'll say it again in case you think I stuttered. They would have won if they didn't score after the first quarter when the Huskies put up 55. 55 in the first quarter. That's unbelievable. How do you rate the weekend for the Oregon Ducks women's team?
It's like when you read that story, what was it, Georgia Tech 212, Cumberland nothing in football?
Yeah.
And then you read that, that's insane. Hey, for us around here, that's a 10. I mean, they hosted two games. They drew a total of about 200 people to the two games. The place was rocking. They had the upper bowl open last night. It was beautiful. You live in Eugene. It's the University of Oregon. That's a definitive 10.
You get a triple-double in that as well. I mean, you can't really ask for much more for the Oregon women or just women's basketball in general. You still got UConn in that, baby, and then you got the Oregon women hosting. If you're going to host, you better win, and not only did they win, they won easily and made it look fun. That's what we're talking about today. We're talking about how much fun they had playing in those games and how much fun they were to watch. So you can't ask for much more. Yeah, that's got to be a 10.
That's your Richter scale. 4. I feel like from now on I should go, and that's your Richter scale for Monday, March 19th.